Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. I am Morenci, and I'm on the freaking grid. So is Kevin Walsh as well. We throw it down. We had such a great time a couple of days ago, and I know a lot of you really enjoyed some of the stories that we shared on the mm-hmm. You know, I enjoyed Kevin's high school memories.
Kevin, Mr. Malinowski.
Malinowski, Mr. M. So break it down once again. Kevin's a big wrestling fan, and of course, the other day we brought up, I said, man, the sports books have to start posting more odds for wrestling. Mm-hmm. Now, there's always odds for WrestleMania, and there'll be odds for big WWE Sunday night pay-per-views at times. Yet people are betting on simulated football right now. Mm-hmm. So don't tell me, you know, oh, I'm not going to bet on wrestling. You're betting on simulated football, all right? So
people bet on The Bachelor.
Yeah, exactly. So WrestleMania, the biggest event, the Super Bowl of the wrestling world, even though it generally sucks all the time, it's still a big event. And mm-hmm. as far as the money that it generates, you know, we're talking a ton of money. Basically, about $150-160 million goes into a city generated revenue from a WrestleMania. So WrestleMania is always big. And, you know, this pandemic's just crushing everybody, right? It's the worst nightmare for Vince McMahon, not having fans in a football stadium. Then they go, well, you know what? We'll do it in a performance center. Well, now the performance center, the town that the performance center is in Orlando, is basically under lockdown. And it's essential business only. And as much as Vince McMahon believes that he is essential, the local mayor doesn't see it that way. So what's the deal with WrestleMania?
So this is it's really interesting. They basically try to get ahead of it, and they're like, let's tape as much as possible, because who knows what this will look like by the time WrestleMania is supposed
to air. They're actually taping like WrestleMania as we speak, almost, or they were.
Yes, yes, yes. There's conflicting reports as to how much of it's done, but they've also now. So the big story that recently came out is Roman Reigns, who is supposed to be in. It's because now it's a two-night special, supposed to be in probably the main event of at least one of these nights against Goldberg. As I'm sure anybody who's followed wrestling, even if you haven't, you know that Roman Reigns had leukemia, was out wrestling for a year. He doesn't trust his immune system. He's now backed out. Now, he backed out at the last hour, which makes this really difficult, but ultimately it's the right decision. They're now looking for a replacement for Roman Reigns. It's reportedly going to be Braun Strowman. The thing is, on current WWE programming, they've yet to actually say coronavirus. They're just like, due to other circumstances. Like, because I guess Vince doesn't want to show weakness. He's like, no, I'm not losing anything. So they almost are going to have to find a way to book around the fact that Roman is no longer going for the title against Goldberg. Things are taped. We don't know what's taped. The Miz, part of the reason apparently Roman pulled out, The Miz is sick. Now, they don't know if it's coronavirus or what it is, but he's sick. He was supposed to have a tag team match with his partner, John Morrison, and defend the tag titles. So it was supposed to be a card that had around, 13, 15 matches. We don't even know how many they're going to get. They're now committed to two nights. Apparently, most of it's taped by now. So it's a real, real mess.
That ruins the betting for it.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. I mean...
The betting... This is the reason why, guys, right? Well, why don't they have more wrestling lines? Because it's taped, and you're not betting on taped events. Someone's gonna know. Obviously, like there's already limits when it comes to wrestling bets because people do know. And there's some amazing stories. A couple of years ago, there was a guy on Reddit, and in a Reddit like wrestling chat rooms. And he basically was like a pay-per-view and there was betting on it. And he gave out. He said, this is what's going to happen. And he went 12-0.
Yeah.
And he did it again. And about three, 4 months later, another pay-per-view. I don't know why he shared it with the public. Yeah, it was almost like he was screwing someone over. Like, we'll never know who it is. It was obviously someone on the inside. But what happened is he was betting it in all the sports books as well. Like, yeah. He wasn't stupid. Like, he was getting plays in, and he was nailing them pretty good. Like, he was maxing out everywhere that was allowing wrestling bets, and he was going max bet. And I got to tell you, you'll love this story, Kevin. I got to tell you, people talk about, wrestling bets, the limits. Yeah, well, whatever, man. There was a WrestleMania, bro. I literally had, like, $3,000 on it.
Really?
Yeah. I had $3,000 in action.
And you remember which one?
Yeah, yes and no. I don't know the number, but I remember that Shawn Michaels was a guest referee and John Cena was one of the... And
Michaels was the guest referee for Triple H versus The Undertaker, I think. Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, and they made it kept going. The fight was over. The match was over. And I was declared a winner. And Michaels came back out and stuff. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was stressing, bro. Like, it was like I was watching a game. Like, I was pacing in my living room, going back and forth. And I'm like, all right, this next match is up. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, I hope The Rock wins, man. Because I'm like, so I'm like watching. And I'm totally like way into it. Like, I'm all like, wow, they got to promote this guy. And they're not promoting this guy. And this guy's contract's up. And this guy's got quite a push recently. Like, because you're not betting on the fight. It's not a fight, but it's a real bet. You're betting on who's going to win. It's still a bet, right? You know what I mean? So what difference does it make? Like, if you're betting on whether the ball goes in, you're betting on whatever. Like, so you try to get into Vince's mind. So, but Vince started, like, Vince caught on to this, and Vince, like, starts pulling the carpet out. And as I don't have to tell you, even now, like, Vince is famously known for this. Like, on WrestleMania, they'll have, like, a script, and Vince will call over the wrestlers, like, 5 minutes before the match. By the way, instead of a normal match, make it a hardcore match. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you lose now. Like, they'll just totally change everything. They'll tell you, by the way, this guy's going to run in, and this is what's happening. And as we saw, going back to... the Montreal Screwjob, which I was actually at, Kevin.
Really?
I was in attendance.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I was there in attendance, and I actually, like, ran down, and, like, we tried to riot.
Yes.
Like, things, like, it was that heated.
Yeah.
It was heated. Like, people were like, you mother, and, like, people were, like, going, dude, the atmosphere in that arena, and I'll never forget it, dude. I remember good for years and stuff, but I always remember everything from betting, all right? And from, like, football and stuff. And the Montreal Screwjob that night, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens played. And it was Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And Sunday Night Football, like, was new, and, like, I think the Ravens were new even. Like, type thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and the Steelers won, like, 37-0. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, like, that Sunday, I crushed it, Kevin. Yeah. Like, all day. And I got to tell you, like, me and my buddies, dude, like, used to love wrestling, going to all the house shows and everything. So, well, I don't know what it was. Was it the Survivor Series? Whatever it was in Montreal that night. Whatever the card was.
At that time, though, you knew it was, like, fake, kind of? Because not scripted. You know what I mean, right? Like, because the thing is, like, I remember the last... Yeah, like, the last storyline, right, where I was still trying to, like, figure it out, was they had a storyline where Vince McMahon gets in his limo and they blow the thing up to smithereens, right? So basically, pretty much, Raw goes off the air that they just murdered Vince McMahon. Someone is just... And I'm Googling, is Vince McMahon dead? Like, it's got to be only for the news. I don't understand. I'm like, Mom, Vince is dead. Like, it's only WWE.com that's like, Vince McMahon
is
the limo.
When that happened, that when that episode happened, Donald Trump called the WWE office the next day and asked if Vince was okay. And they were like, well, what do you mean? Is he all right? And he's like, well, I saw last night he was in an explosion. And they put Vince wasn't there, so they put Triple H on. Triple H spoke to Trump. It's a true story. Triple H said, hey, Don. And he said, oh, my God. Like, I'm sorry. Like, what, you know? And Triple H said, for what? Yeah. He said, the limo and Vince. And Triple H said, no, it's part of the show. So he got in the limo, and he went out the other side.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah. And Donald,
that's great.
This man is now in charge of the pandemic, bro.
Yep.
I'm going to cut you slack because you were a kid at the time.
Yeah.
This man is in charge of the pandemic, yeah, and he wasn't sure if Vince McMahon died in the explosion or not.
Right. I mean, and I'm also not in charge of the pandemic, right? Like, I mean, it's wild. But that's the other thing, which you kind of talked about Vince and, like, how quickly he'll pull things out. Is one of the ways that if they wanted to ever try and popularize it would be able to have betting on Raw and SmackDown more regularly. The problem is, you know, 9 times out of 10, you get the update 2 hours before SmackDown's going on air.
Exactly. There's always spoilers.
Writing the entire show. But he's also rewriting the entire, like.
Yeah, but you have limits. And exactly. It's like real life, dude. It's like, it's still a gamble. You don't know. You're betting. Put $50 a limit on the fight. So that's what I was going to say. Man, there was a book, dude. The limit was like $1,000. Because I remember I was like, oh, I'll try to put $200 on it. Bing, it let me. And I got crazy. And I was under the impression, I was like, look at these odds. I was like, this guy's plus 430. This guy's plus 280. This guy's plus 600. All I need is like one or two upsets, right?
Yeah.
It didn't happen, bro. It was like favorite after favorite after favorite. Yeah. I was getting mad. And I'm yelling at my screen. I'm like, freaking Vince. I'm like, you're so predictable. I'm like, this is so predictable. This sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Come on, Vince. Where's the upper? Like, as it went on, I got a couple. It was like, all right, good. I just hit a plus 330. And it sort of started to even out. But I'll never forget, dude. I literally have like $800 on this match, like the big one that I liked. I think it was like the Undertaker and Triple H. Mm-hmm. I remember Shawn Michaels as the ref. I pretty much think that John Cena was in it. Like, I don't know if it was John Cena and Triple H. I don't know who the hell it was. But so basically, the match is over. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I win. The match is over. I win. They raise his arm. The crowd goes crazy and stuff. I actually jump up. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, and yeah, people said I'm stupid for betting on this. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I won. I'm like, this is the one I needed. Yeah. And I'm all like literally like really excited. Like actually from a guy, more excited I've been in years actually. Like I was actually like, yeah. And I was all like, you know, I was like, this is awesome. I win. And then like 2 minutes later, JR, oh, here comes Shawn Michaels, guest referee coming in here. Oh, he's restarting the match. And they restart the match, ding, ding, it goes right away. I lose, like right away, bing. And it's not like real, like there's not, it's said in the bet before.
Mm-hmm.
All results from WWE.com are final. Right? It's right. Not like who got your hand raised. So yeah. The rules work. So I'm looking at WWE.com, defeated. I'm like, oh, God. So, yeah, we had big money on it. But the day of that Montreal screw job, it was NFL Sunday. And I remember my roommates in the band Homicide, they weren't as into sports as much as I were, but they were degenerate. So if they thought they could make money, they just tell my picks. Sure. So they did that day because we were going to wrestling. We started drinking at like 10 in the morning, bro. All right. Big NFL Sunday, wrestling day. And Montreal, it was like, oh, yeah, big day. Bret Hart's last day in the WWF at the time. Okay. Love Bret Hart. We'll get into that. But it's how this sort of wrestling stuff started. But best three wrestlers of all time. Hey, the best there was, the best there is, the best there ever will be for a reason. Right?
They don't just go handing out that nickname anyway.
No. So I crushed it that day. Like, I won, like, every NFL bet. You know what I mean? I remember I was like, ding, bam, boom, boom, like thousands of dollars. This is a long time ago, too. Like, I was killing it. And I remember the Sunday nighter, I was like, I love it. And there was, like, barely even cell phones in those days. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I remember, like, finding out the score at halftime. I was like, whoa, what? And it was like the night got even better. You know what I mean? It was like a great day. We're winning the game. I had great seats. We're there. And then the old Montreal screw job happened. a piece of history. I was there. I was damn close to the ring, too. I wasn't on the floor. I was like perfect. Like I had like perfect seats in the lower level, right like directly center of the ring. So I saw it all. Like, I saw him spit on him. I saw, like, I even said he just spit on him. People were throwing things, and people were trying to get at Shawn Michaels. Yeah. And then subsequently, you've seen a documentary that Bret punched him in the face after.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, but there's been a lot of conversation recently, actually, about kind of Bret Hart on Twitter I've seen. A lot of people, like you clowns, think that Bret Hart wasn't charismatic, and they're posting these promos that could, like, get anybody to walk into a building just to hear this guy talk for five more minutes. There's a lot of people who are like, damn it, Vince, like, you really had to screw this guy.
These idiots. Now it's just the mic stuff. Yeah, Bret wasn't a master of the mic. He didn't have to be. He was that cool, right? You want to see him wrestle. You want to see him walk in. The music and him and Anvil Neidhart and stuff, like the Hart Foundation.
I saw an old promo of Bret's. I think it was his brother Owen was going against Pillman. I think they're fighting maybe like the European Championship. And just in like the middle of the match, like Bret walks out. Just on the mic, he's like, stop this. He goes, they're trying to get us to fight against one another, right? And because they're like, he's like, these fans don't deserve us. Like, we're Canadian through and through. Forget them. Like, we're the Hart family. And he stops the match and he makes them hug and they walk out. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, okay, I need to watch every Raw that's ever happened from this moment on. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Because it's like, because all of a sudden you're like, yeah, they're a family. Like, let's mob up. Like, there's an old photo that Brian Pillman Jr., Pillman's son, is like a wrestler now, and he posted. He goes, show me a cooler faction. And it's all of them. They all have the leather jacket on with, like, the black and pink shirts, the blue jeans, and they really do look like the coolest group ever.
Yeah, they're so cool. They're so cool that they can wear pink.
At the time.
You know what I'm saying? They pulled it off, the black and pink. And, yeah, so, you know, as you stated, the way that went down, you know, there's the argument Bret screwed Bret, right? That, you know, because Vince screwed Bret, the Montreal screw job, and no, Bret screwed Bret, and he had the famous interview after. And in hindsight, Bret Hart was a little bit demanding. It's like, listen, bro, you're making way more money in another company. You're leaving. Mm-hmm. The thing is, it was Veterans Day in Canada too. And he took that Canadian stuff seriously, bro.
Very.
Yeah, and he was like, I can't lose on Canadian soil. And he said, I just can't. And they were like, you have to. They're like, you're leaving. Like, what part of this don't you get? And he goes, I'll give up the belt tomorrow. And they're like, Vince is like, okay. He's like, thanks, Vince. And Vince is like, all right, guys, come here.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Arensi, and I'm on the grid. We could say we're in the ring right now.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity to talk some wrestling with Kevin Walsh. There's actually quite a bit of wrestling news. We're talking about WrestleMania, and we'll get into the UFC a little bit because of this. They're sort of tied hand in hand.
I got to get your AEW thoughts, too.
Oh, yeah, and I wanted to get to that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most sports fans, you know, at one point or another, like, were big wrestling fans.
Yeah.
And the WWE is kind of candy ass now. It's unwatchable, to be honest. It's the same people the man. And like, it's like, it's just the same stuff over and over and over and over and over. It's just, it's nauseating.
Right.
But yeah, just quickly, as far as Bret Hart was concerned. So the next night when they rolled out Bret Hart as a midget, that was, yeah. It's like, you already screwed the guy. And then they're all like, no, Bret Hart's here. He didn't leave. And dun, dun, they play his music.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out, and it's a little mini midget Bret Hart. That was cold, bro.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's, like, there the ruthlessness that Vince has shown.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing, that it's real. Like, people say, oh, it's fake. Yeah. No. These guys are really trying to screw each other. He just, like, insulted him and rolled out a midget. It's not part of an act. Like,
no, right, yeah. Like Bret's at home. Furious, you know what I mean? Like, those are the things. Like, there was, I don't know if you got to see it, but there was a little video package that they aired in AEW. One of the guys that just came over, formerly Luke Harper, is now Brody Lee. And in the video package, right, he's kind of like the big boss leader, and one of his like under guys sneezes in front of him, and Brody Lee snaps. He flips, get the hell out of here! What is wrong with you? And it's because there's an old story that Vince loses his mind if anybody sneezes in front of him. You know what I mean? So it was a little shot, right? A little shot at Vince. And there's people who are like, man, that's so unnecessary. Why do they have to... It's like, do you know the shots that Vince McMahon has taken over the years? Like, do you have any idea what this guy has done? Like, when Dusty came from WCW, the reason he was in those black and yellow polka dots was not a Dusty choice. Like, you know what
I mean? He made people kiss his ass.
Yes! Yes!
Literally.
Yes! The Kiss My Ass Club. It's a real club. There's
the
real members.
Kiss My Ass. You know who I like? The old school, my boy, the old Mean Street Posse, Pete Gass. I love those guys. You wouldn't figure I would, you know, the yuppie dudes, but I loved it. They were so bad wrestlers. They came out and they took a bunch of people. Great stuff. So you're gonna like this. So leading into to the All Elite stuff. So with Jericho,
yeah,
not another Canadian, and Chris Jericho from Winnipeg. So years ago, I've been on the radio a long time, right? So I'm in a metal band, Homicide, and I'm working for this. Like, I also used to work in the music business too. And, so the company I work for tell me, listen, that wrestler Chris Jericho has a band. It's brand new, called Fozzy.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho has a band. You know, we don't really know much about it. We think it'd be perfect for you you know, can you promote it on your show? Can you get him on your show and promote it and stuff? And my band was going to open up for the gig. We just played. We had just played in the same venue. Mm-hmm. And there was another like big metal show coming up, like Merciful Fate or something. And we were on that show. And they basically said, listen, you can't be on every show. And they said, if you want it, you can play with Chris Jericho. But, you know, the Merciful Fate show is bigger, whatever. So I was like, and at that, we played a lot. So at that time, I was nice guy. I was a cool guy, Kevin. I actually hooked up a friend of mine, a band. Because I said, Jericho's, we were heavier speed metal. I said, Jericho's more metal. And I knew doing a metal band that hosted a wrestling show, Aaron Amadeus. So I was perfect, like synergy and stuff. So the thing is, it was cool. I did the radio ad and everything. Mm-hmm. Don't miss it, September 14th, Fozzy with Chris Jericho. And I got to say, produced by Sports Rage and Gabriel Morenci. So I got like production credits like on the show. It was like brought to you by Donald K. Donald Productions and Sports Rage. And so the poster and everything, Fozzy, it said Sports Rage. And had like my radio station, Sports Rage, Team 990. Like, you know what I mean? So I was part of the promotion. So I'm like, gosh, this is great. I love Chris Jericho. So Jericho on the show. So Jericho comes on and we hit it off. Because I know heavy metal, I know wrestling. So we're going back and forth. And he's got a mascot. Fozzy had a mascot, Arthur the Pig. Right?
I didn't know that. Okay.
So it's sort of like his Eddie of Iron Maiden. Mm-hmm. So it's like a guy that was basically in a pig mask, you know, pig face. So I used to have some crazy ass collars, bro. Like this is like collars used to be good. Now everyone's an idiot, right? So I used to have really good collars, like crazy guys, right?
Yeah.
And my collars was sort of like a wrestling show. Everyone had a character and a bit, and one guy would flush a toilet after he'd call, go to hell. You know what I mean? Like everyone had a bit. It was like the Jerky Boy era in those days, right? So everyone was a smart mouth. And we had a guy, his name's Madness, almost like our Bob, like kind of like the crazy guy would call, but Madness was nuts, all right? Mm-hmm. So we had a contest. Live on the radio. It was one of my best shows ever. It's Friday night. We have Chris Jericho on the phone. And Jericho's playing in Montreal like, you know, the next, you know, 5 days later or something. You know, the next Saturday night. And it was actually, you know what? It was the Friday night before the Saturday we had the contest. So that was it. He comes on the Friday night and he's like, I need someone to be Arthur the Pig for me. And he says, why don't we like do something like have a contest with your listeners or something? Mm-hmm. So I have Chris Jericho on. I'm like, all right, people, this is your chance to not only meet Chris Jericho, but appear on stage with his band as Arthur the Pig. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so the contest is who makes the best pig sounds?
Oh, man.
Yeah. So we had people calling in, like literally we had a ton of calls, like people making pig sounds. The craziest caller we have is the winner. He goes over the top. He's oinking and he's going over the top. All right. He's going over the top. Mm-hmm. He wins. So the next night, we're there. We're at the show. I'm like, man, where is this guy? He's late. He stiffed us.
No.
He was on the way. He got too nervous. For one reason or another.
Yeah.
And because he's a radio caller, no one had seen him. It was different in those days. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was like, people are going to see me. And he got scared. And he made some excuse up that someone died and stuff. But then word on the street is, no, he was literally like a block away and panicked and mm-hmm. turned around. So, and he admitted after that, I got scared. I panicked. Yeah. And so I'm there with Jericho. Jericho's getting mad at me. He's like, you know, you got some real pieces of work to call your show, Gabe. He's like, you know, he goes, I don't have a freaking Arthur. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
So I'm outside. I'm looking outside. I'm like, this son of a, I'm going, we got someone out of the crowd and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it worked out. But so this story about Chris Jericho, now he's now at A&E. So Chris Jericho hit it off and same thing. WWE is in Montreal that Sunday night. So he's playing. That's why, like, he sort of, he's smart. He correlates like Joe Rogan does, mm-hmm. right? Joe Rogan will do a stand-up in a city on Friday and then work the UFC. Yes. He's genius.
Yep.
Paid for from two angles. Mm-hmm. So Jericho did the show. His band Fozzy would sort of play around the WWE stuff. And so it was Sunday. And I didn't want to ask him. I was going to the event anyways, but he asked me. He goes, you have tickets for the event?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, but, you know, they're not great. And he goes, well, I'll get you better tickets. And he starts laughing. And he goes, don't worry. But I didn't buy them yet. I said, yeah, I'm going to buy them. But, you know what I mean? They're not great. I wouldn't mind getting better seats, to be honest. And he goes, all right. He goes, this is old school, like landline only. He goes, what's your phone number? And so I give him my phone number. And he goes, I'm going to call you tomorrow. And I'll leave you a message telling you whether they're at the box office or not. We'll call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And, you know, so the next day, I tell my girlfriend at the time, you know what I mean? Get off the phone. Like, you know what I mean? The phone, like all day, I was like, just looking at the phone, right? Like, get off the phone. And she's like, what's your deal? And I tell her, and she starts laughing in my face, bro. She's like, you think that Chris Jericho is going to call you? She goes, he was just being nice.
Yeah.
He goes, the guy played a show last night, and he was one of the big, like, events. Like, it was a big pay-per-view. He was a big star at the time. And she's like, he's not calling. And I'm like, he's going to call. He's Chris Jericho. Yeah, I said, he's not going to. He's Jericho. He's not going to. Yeah. He's Y2J.
Y2J.
Yeah, I was like, no, he ain't. You know what I mean? And that was a great gimmick, the Y2J that he came up with. So it's like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
No.
And then I'm like, well, you know, he's a busy dude, must have forgot. You know what I mean? She's like, I told you. Kevin, lo and behold, bro.
Yes.
7:15. Ring, ring, ring. Phone picks up. Chris Jericho. Hey, Marenzi. Hey, how you doing? Got your 4 tickets. Box office. I looked at her.
Yeah.
Never doubt Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Never doubt Chris Jericho.
She shouldn't even been able to go.
I know. And it was in the old days, too. It was one of the first times they let you keep the seat and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, we got the seat. Like,
I got one of them in the basement, actually, from a show.
Looks like you're in the basement now. There's a basement to where you are now.
I'm in the basement. It's a good setup. It's like there's a bar here. I actually have it off the hook. There's an old rotary phone in the basement where, you know, you got to go 9, 8. So I have it off the hook because if it rings, it'd mess up the whole thing.
I give you credit. I saw two millennial kids. It's online. It's out there. It was on Twitter about a month ago. His father offered them money, and he said, you have 5 minutes. Call this number. And it was a rotary phone.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't do it.
Nothing.
They picked it up.
I've had it down here my
whole
life.
They picked it up. They pushed it. They didn't know, like, and the mother was laughing. The father was like, God, you guys are stupid. Like, the father was getting mad. Basically, they couldn't do it. 5 full minutes. One of the kids nearly started crying. He was like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know. And they dialed one number and like listened, and they had no idea how to use a rotary phone.
Yeah. The thing is, it's not like mobile. Otherwise I'd bring it over here. It's to my left, but yeah, it's old school as it gets. But it's tan. It kind of like blends into the little back.
Yeah. They were all tan. Those colors. Think about like the old school dialing in your bets. I used to do the Expos games, and there was a payphone right outside the Expos dugout in the tunnel. I don't know why you have a payphone next to you. You know what I mean? It's a payphone. But they had a payphone, and Pete Rose on the Expos, where he used to bet from. So I used to call in. I was proud of that. I used to call in bets on the same phone Pete Rose did. I'd dial in the rotary, call in the bookie and stuff. Old days. Now, everything, I would never bet with a bookie now because I would only bet legally. Those days, a little different. Now, only FanDuel.
Only the FanDuel sports.
Only FanDuel. DraftKings are good people too.
Yep.
DraftKings good people too. But so yeah, so Chris Jericho, really cool dude. His band has been very successful, actually. With Fozzie and Jericho, and now he's at the forefront of this.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, it's almost like the XFL, right? There's a lot of new leagues, the Alliance League. There's this, there's that. There was TNA, there was Impact. You know, there's a lot of different wrestling leagues out there. None of them have ever been a real competitor to him since the old Ted Turner days. And then he bought them out. So since the old Ted Turner days, no one's been a competitor to them. And, you know, even me, I wondered. I'm like, all right, Rhodes, and you got a couple of guys, and you know, how are you going to rewrite the wrestling world here? I got to tell you, man, some quality stuff. And I haven't been a mark on a weekly basis. It's more been I watch the replay at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yet when I tune it in, it's retaining me. Like, I'm not even thinking about changing the channel. I tune into wrestling Raw or something. I last 40 seconds. I'm like, I can't watch this. Like, we seeing Chris Jericho argue with a drone the other night might have been one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. And like, that's the thing about Jericho that's so...
Was that the first time they did that angle?
Yes. Yeah, it was the very first time. And that's...
Just for the record, this wrestling, A&E, guys, one of the wrestlers is a drone.
Yeah. It's like, it's a drone that is equipped to the Matt Hardy character that he then proceeded to also have an argument with. It's called Vanguard. Yeah. Like, Jericho's like, first name Van, last name Guard. He's calling him a piece of ass. He's like, you son of a, get back here.
Oh, yeah,
like,
he's trying... that. Yeah. And then he gets all serious. He goes, but I need you to join me. And like, he's talking like face to face with a drone, thinking the power that we'd have together. The drone is sort of thinking about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's listen to me, Guard. Listen to me. Yeah, listen. Yeah. That was just too good. And you know what I've noticed? This is how you know it's good. I've watched a little bit, and I tuned in just for the fascination about the crowd. And the WWE without fans is terrible. It's like bad acting, bad. You're like, dear God, guys, you can't even do this. You're going to be better off just putting on canned programming. It's that bad. And God bless them, because I love Stone Cold Steve Austin. Even his bit was bad without a crowd. Like, it doesn't work. Yet Jericho and Hardy and these guys, no crowd, no problem. It's intense.
Yeah, you kind of just forget.
It's like a live Broadway. It's like a Shakespeare or something, like with Hardy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
and you
wow,
just
these guys
in.
Are really into it for real. They're not like faking this.
Yeah. And wait until the crowd comes back. Like, you'll see it. The show that was supposed to be on the list past Wednesday was supposed to be in Newark. It's going to be in, like, mid-July, assuming we're back to having fans and things like
that.
I'll
go to that then. We're back.
You gotta go. It's
oh, yeah. I want to go see my favorite wrestler, Vanguard.
Yeah. Gonna be buying
Vanguard. I like that they think outside the box like that. Like, they have, you know, they have objects now. Is it right? Like, it's just great. Like, he's arguing with a drone. All right, get on the grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Renzi. I'm on the grid, and so is Kevin Wall. So, you know, we're in this post-apocalyptic sports world right now, and wrestling has sort of been there. I gotta tell you, like, I haven't hit rock bottom, Kevin. I gotta be honest, and I bet pretty much every day of my life since 1981. Like, think about that.
Literally,
I'm not exaggerating, like, wow, pretty much every day. 40. Yet I'm not going through withdrawals. I'm upset financially because I'm looking for a spot here or there, but I'm not sitting here every night, bro, betting on this Madden simulated football and crap. Are you?
No, I'm not. The Madden sim games, it's also, I'm not doing that. Like, I saw the Action Network the other day posted, like, a one-on-one bracket that they're going to sim throughout 2K. They're like, we're going to post futures. And it's like, you know what, man? I've played 2K before, and it's frustrating enough playing. If you think I'm going to sit there, put money down on simulated Kevin Durant against simulated, like, Damian Lillard, and then, like, Damian, like, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, if people are genuinely interested, sure, right?
But or do it and don't watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one of those, like, it just, I'm just randomly betting. At that point, you know what? I swear to God, I'd rather play the lottery. I'd rather play the numbers. Like, in New York, they have the four numbers and stuff like that. At that point, guys, you're better off doing that. And listen, to me, though, Kevin, it blows my mind. Like you said, these sports sites are talking about it. Twitter's blowing up. I see people, Packers -3.5 is a lock. I mean, guys, listen, I've bet on virtual soccer before, after about 13 drinks on a Saturday night for fun. But I'm not looking for that. So, like I said, from an entertainment standpoint, I've enjoyed the All Elite Wrestling. And, it's too bad for WrestleMania because that's something, everyone tunes into. And I like to lay it down, recreational bets. And I was thinking, this year at WrestleMania, even with no fans, man, remember I said it'll be the most bet WrestleMania ever, but it's not going to be because everything's in a can right now.
That's the problem. Is one of the things that I learned a while back. I remember it was three, maybe four Royal Rumbles ago. All of a sudden, like, you see these articles, Randy Orton now, the odds-on favorite to win the Rumble. And I'm like, get that. He's not winning the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? Like, one of those things, like, man, it's when you're younger, you're like, man, I wish I bet. I'd clean up. Like, there's no way Randy Orton won the Royal Rumble. So it's one of those things you kind of learn. Like, if you really want spoilers, as much as, your Dave Meltzers of the world can give you your scoops, look at the betting odds. And they'll give you a pretty good idea what's going to happen. And that's the thing. With a taped show, the favorites are going to – I can't imagine the favorites not all winning if they actually posted odds on a tape show. And I can't imagine they're letting you parlay. Because that'd be the only thing I'd play. An all favorites parlay, even if it's 12, 13, whatever, and just hope that comes home.
All right. So there's been a lot of talk. I don't know whoever starts these things, but you know what? Once you get hooked, once you're in, you can't turn back on it. Very difficult, especially three. But I've seen people out there who are the best three wrestlers or your big three, so to speak. Right. And we've had fun with it. Maybe, you and I will do an NBA one, actually. Because, me and Cam did NHL. We did baseball favorite players. But I'll ask you, I'm sure you've thought about it a little bit. Yeah. Who's Kevin Walsh's big three?
So this is the thing, right? Because one of the other ways people phrase this is always Mount Rushmore, right? Who are the people that would sit on Mount Rushmore? Now, my favorite three of all time is probably a little bit different. But the one thing is, right, if somebody said to try and capture the three most, like, recent eras, if you will, the people that have completely defined the eras, I would lean towards Hogan ran his era. Then Stone Cold ran his era as great as, and there was a zillion people, right? Between Taker, The Rock, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Bret. I mean, it's ridiculous. But Stone Cold ultimately was the guy. And then this more newer generation was John Cena. So if I had to pick three guys that have defined the three most recent eras, I would say Hogan, Stone Cold and Cena.
You know, one of the coolest things, one cool thing I've done is interviewed like tons of people. I interviewed Stone Cold Steve Austin face to face. And it was real cool. And he told me, he said, son, he said, I've done about 62 interviews in the last week. He goes, this by far is the best one. And he goes, this is fun. He goes, you should get into my business. And we had a camera and we like face to face. Like we were like, you know what I mean? Like it was Stone Cold liked me actually, but it's funny. He liked me, but another time as a fan, he told me to go F myself on the street, me and my buddy. He laughed though in a good way. Oh, I have a lot of wrestling stories, bro. Like I didn't get to the famous one, which I think, you know, maybe we'll squeeze out here just because you're going to love it too much. It's just too funny. But it's tough. There's so many. And I hear what you're saying with the generations. But for me, my big three, like we said, number one, Bret Hart. You know, the best there was, the best there is, the best there ever will be. And I have to go with, oh, yeah, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Yeah, like to me, I was never a big Hulk Hogan guy. I like the bad guys. Like I like all my favorite guys are lower tier guys. You would probably know. But, you know, I'm thinking like Iconic, you know, and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Love
Piper's Pit. Like, that's like the precursor to everything. Like, those guys weren't great. You know what I mean? Piper's Pit. But, you know, my favorite wrestlers, like, you know, one of my favorite wrestlers, I'm sure you know who he is Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm a big Greg the Hammer Valentine. I like all those old school mean guys. Big John Studd, may he rest in peace.
I'll tell you, King Kong Bundy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The old big Vader, right? Big Bam Bigelow.
Yeah. He came after. You know, like, so King Kong Bundy is funny. He talked at great interviews. You know, those shoot, you know, takes on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
So Bundy talked about how he didn't like wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you know, and I don't say this insultingly. He goes, it was a job to me. And he said, I never got it. He goes, some of these guys would get so mad. I'm not losing in my town and I'm not losing this. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I never really understood that mentality. He started talking about Bret Hart. He's like, what do you care, bro? He goes, you know, you're not, you know, and he goes, but he goes, I'm not insulting these guys because they care that much.
Yeah.
Right? And he goes, I just, quite frankly, it was just more of a job to me. But, like, I was a big, big King Kong Bundy fan, interesting guy. So you're going to like this story. So I go to a wrestling event. It's like a Friday night, Bell Center in Montreal. And it's pretty rowdy in those days. Like, it's rowdier, right? Like, they didn't mind if you threw cups into the ring and stuff like that at them. Right? And it almost encouraged it. And so I was a jerk. I'm not going to lie. Me and my buddies all night were mouthing off at every wrestler. And I was literally in the front row. So Billy Gunn's there. And I'm like, you Lex Luger wannabe. Hey, can you get me some juice? Like, look at all the Roy. Like, I'm riding this guy. And like, we're going back and forth and stuff. But he's loving it. Yeah, he's loving it and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So he's loving it. He's going off. And he's sort of encouraging people to throw things at him, okay?
Yeah.
So his match is over, and he's around the ring, and I'm in the front row, and I'm double-fisting it. And I got two cups of beer. And one of them, I take a sip, and I'm like, oh, it's kind of warm and flat. And he's coming towards me, and I flick it, like kind of like a shovel pass.
Yeah.
Except I did it harder than I wanted. And because of the beer, it flew like,
oh.
It wasn't just a cup.
Yeah.
I hit Billy Gunn right in the face with the beer cup.
Not good.
No.
Not good.
And the beer went in his face, except he wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over, and I'm sort of like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He comes over. He freaking pulled me over the barrier, bro. All right? Like, he pulled me over, like, I'm on the mat, like, type of thing now. Like, I'm not in the stands anymore. Like, I'm like a wrestler. He pulled me over the barrier, all right?
A massive dude.
Yeah. Pulled me over the barrier, and he tells me, I'm going to effing kill you. And he's got my arm, like, around my back and stuff, all right? And now security's like jumps on all of us, okay? And they walk, like we walk up the ramp that the wrestlers came out on. Okay? And Billy Gunn's got my arm in security, and the security are telling Billy Gunn, we got him, get off him type thing. Mm-hmm. Billy Gunn's not letting go of my arm. And he's gonna like break my arm. He's got my arm like behind my back type thing. And I should note, I did mouth off a lot too, Adam, right? So like I upset him. Sure. So he's got me. This is 1,000,000% true. Like, there's witnesses and a whole nine yards, bro.
Yeah.
They pull me into their dressing room where the wrestlers are getting ready. All right. Uh-huh. I see Mick Foley, okay, mm-hmm. as Mankind. He's standing like 3 feet in front of me. I'm in the room. And Billy Gunn's now really losing it. I'm going to effing kill you, kid. And he's going off and like he's like freaking out. And I look over to Mankind. I'm like, Mick, you got to help me. And I swear, he's putting the sock on and everything. And I'm like, you got to help me, man. Mick. He just sort of looks at me and like looks away. And they brought me into like this. So Billy Gunn lets me go. The security, I'm worried about security. Like they have me in like the underground bunker of the arena now.
Yeah.
Right? Then I'm name dropping. I'm like, you guys try to rough me up, man. I swear to God, I'm like, you know, they're like, chill out. They're like, nah, we're not going to beat you up. They're like, but you're gone. You're out. All right. You're kicked out. Yeah. So I get kicked out. I'm on the street. I'm like, wow, that escalated fast. Except the thing is, dude, they had a restaurant. They had a restaurant in the arena and they used to stamp your hand. So my hand was stamped. So I just went right back in the arena. I bought like a WWE hat and went right back to the row and stuff. So after the card and stuff, I'm on the street. People are coming up to me left and right, bro. Now, I used to have long hair, right? I kind of look like Bret Hart. And I used to have long hair, skinnier, smaller Bret Hart. I had a leather jacket and stuff, but my buddy was this massive dude, literally like 6'8". Like he looked like the Undertaker, literally. Yeah. I had people coming up to me. What's your character's name? Are you a manager? Who are you with? I had chicks rolling up to me and stuff. People were like pointing. It was like Fan Man of Seinfeld. Hey, Fan Man. People are outside. They're like, hey, that's that guy with Billy Gunn. People are coming up. Who are you with? Are you gonna? Are you on the show? Like. Yeah. Are you Billy Gunn's? Like, are you going to feud? Are you a manager? Like, what's your angle? And I'm all drunk playing it up. Well, you'll see. I can't give away too much. I'm taking pictures with people outside.
That's great.
About 3 months later, I should note Billy Gunn appeared at a club that night after. There was an after party. I tried to go, me and my buddies. They wouldn't let me in. There was security there, and they knew. They were like, no. You were the guy that got kicked out, and we didn't want trouble. So I don't know. About 3 months later, there's a house show on a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. I find out Billy Gunn's on the card. I'm like, oh, I'm going. Right? I'm going. Well, same thing, Kevin. I made sure I paid more. I got, like, right in the front. I'm right there.
Yeah.
And I can't even repeat the things I was saying. Like, I'm not proud. I was saying a lot of bad things to the guy.
I'm sure.
All right.
There was
this kid. He had a box of pizza. All right. The kid finishes pizza. I said, hey, kid, give me your box. Get the box. And I wrote, Billy Gunn is. And I can't repeat it.
No.
And I'm holding it up in the front row. He comes over to me, man. And he goes, I don't know what your effing problem is. He goes, I don't know what I ever did to you. he goes, I'm just trying to do my job, man. He sort of says this fast. Wow. He puts his hand out and he goes, Are we good?
Wow.
I stuck my hand out, shook his head, and in total wrestling, Kevin, I went from like deriding the guy, turned around, Billy Gunn's the man. Billy Gunn, everybody! Billy Gunn!
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Yes.
I didn't know. I got to be honest. This all happened before. Do you remember when they did like the Rough Tough series when they fought for real kind of in the WWE?
Yeah.
I never knew how tough this guy was in real life. Okay. You know, the guy used to wear like, you know, kind of frilly type. Like, I was calling him some, you know, names. Hey, pretty boy. I didn't realize him and his brother, Bart Gunn, these guys can kill anybody in real life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I just listened to Billy Gunn on a podcast saying, like, he's like, yeah, at first I didn't really understand what wrestling is. And then someone, like, brought me to a ring and beat me up. And I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, the only reason he bought in is because he found out he could actually hit people. You know, like.
That's the thing. Those guys are different. Like, the Steiners, that's not Seth Rollins. Like, it's a different breed. Yeah.
Another level. I'm telling you, during this break, I've watched a bunch of like Steiner brothers. They're the two most badass dudes. I watch their matches. I'm like, I think they're pissed at the other guys the whole time. Every time Scott in, he just smacks the dude, lifts him up, screams at the crowd, let's get, and just drops the dude on his head. Rick
like, you
gets
see, like some people do a body slam. The Steiner's like, but bam! Like, they enjoy it. Like, that's the thing. He enjoys beating you up.
That's a move that he used to do in Japan called, I think it was, like, the Steiner Driver. You look it up on YouTube. Maybe I'll put a link up on Twitter to it. And he drops the dude straight on their head. And he gets up and he screams, you ain't getting up from that one. Like, the dude. He's just on the top rope cheering.
People didn't like wrestling against the Steiners because of that, though. Because it was real. Same thing, like all my old guys like that. Jeff Patera, I don't know if you know, look him up. Jeff Patera, he was like a weightlifter. Like in real life, he used to throw fans through, like he'd beat fans up in hotel bars. Don Morocco, mean-spirited dude. I got robbed by a famous wrestler at Night Point who hit rock bottom. He had a cocaine problem and he robbed me. We'll save that for another time. And I have a great Brock Lesnar story. Brock Lesnar threatened to kill me.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.